Welcome to the Small Church Leadership Podcast, the podcast where we are helping the small church fulfill the big mission. My name's Brian, and I'm a fellow small church pastor in the trenches with every one of you guys. And today, as always, I'm joined by my best dudes, Pastor Joey and Pastor Colby. Guys, what is going on?
My life is dope, and I do dope things.
And I'm blessed.
I love it. I've already said this one time, but I'm going to say it again. You guys are the best ever. Like, man, this is awesome. So as we said in our last podcast, you're stinking consistent and consistently stinky. That's our brand, and we're sticking to it. Right, guys?
We'll take that. How are you doing, Brian?
I'm doing fantabulous. That's how I'm doing. And so just to our listeners that are out there in listener land, maybe you've heard the past last podcast, and this podcast may sound a little different than it usually does. That's because we're trying a new thing out. We're recording via Zoom because we're not able to be all together at the same time. And also, we're looking at expanding in the future and possibly doing some interviews and having some other guests come on the show. So if we had figured out the sound effect thing, that would be a good time for me to put the sound effect and went, yeah. So I'll just say it again. Yeah. What do you think, guys? Did that work out well?
That works. We might want to find a better one, but that works for now.
Okay. We'll find a better one. We'll see what we can do. That's what actually the church pulpit committee has been saying about Forward Church, their pastor. They might want to find a better one. So
we'll find a better one, but this one will do for now.
That's right. Like, hey, he might not be the one, but he's a one. Okay. So we're the last episode, we actually started looking at a few articles and blog posts that were really influential to us that we feel like are helpful for the small church pastor, the small church leader. And so the last one, we talked about 10 things that I wish I had known before, 10 things I wish I had known or learned from 25 years of ministry. Today, we're talking about 13 signs that you're an angry pastor, 13 signs that you're an angry pastor. Joey, what do you think about that?
I think that I hit some of these signs and I'm a little bit worried. So,
as long as you're not getting mad about it.
I was a little disappointed that Colby was number two. Your name is Colby. You may be an angry pastor.
Oh, man. Like, we don't think about that, though, man. Like, that anger could possibly be the culture of who we are and instead of just something that happens occasionally. And so I saw a meme a few years ago, and it said that I've been that for a while I thought this was just a phase, but it's been a few years, so I guess this is who I am now. And I think that sometimes that's what happens when we get in these angry pastor moments. We thought it was just a phase, but, man, there's something deep down inside that's causing us to be angry. Now, I want to say from the top to our small church leadership nation, we're not saying you're an angry pastor, so please calm down, okay? Don't get mad. Put the chair down, okay? Don't get angry at us. We're just talking about how important it is for us to look at these signs and make sure that that's not who we are or who we're becoming. Because can we be honest, guys? Ministry can kind of make you angry sometimes, can it? Or is that just
me? Yes, absolutely.
I have had a church member or two that I have thought about possibly encouraging them to step outside and, you know, let's just lay hands on one another and just see what happens. Two men walk out, one man walks back. It's beautiful. That's why one of the reasons why I started taking jiu-jitsu is, right, like, I choke people so I don't have to choke people.
That works.
So we're looking at this sign from churchleaders.com, 13 signs you're an angry pastor. And I want to tell you, we're going to post this article this week. So as you've got this podcast, you can go on over to our Facebook page and you can see where we've posted this article. We're only going to take one of these signs a piece. So since there are three of us, Joey, do the math. How many of these are we going to talk about?
Three.
Three. There you go. Hey.
He didn't even need his toes for that one.
He didn't. Why need your toes when you got your bros, right? So we're going to talk about three of these 13 signs. Lord help us. Can somebody take over? Have you guys found somebody to replace me yet? Please
not
tell
yet.
Me that.
Yeah, we're accepting resumes on Indeed.
So as we get started, Joey, why don't you start us off by sharing the one that jumped out the most to you?
All right. Angry pastors have experienced significant pain and disappointment. And the reason that stood out to me was because I got to thinking, are they angry because they have experienced significant pain and disappointment more than the non-angry pastor? Or is it because of the way they've handled it? And the answer is maybe both. I know that Colby's reading a book right now, or he may have finished it, and I got it on my desk to start, called Leadership Pain. It's by Samuel Chan, and he's introduced this concept in some of his other books, and I think he wrote it in this book. And the concept is this. Your leadership ability is limited by how much pain you can endure. Because being a leader means that you're going to have to endure pain. There's painful decisions. There's painful things that you got to do. And if you can't handle the pain, it's going to limit your ability to lead. Is that correct, Colby?
Yeah, that's what his quote in that book was, you'll only grow to the threshold of your pain. But in his other books, he says basically the same thing.
Yeah, leadership decisions come with pain, and you got to make those decisions through pain. If you can't take the pain of making that decision, when you know making a decision is the right decision, but it's going to hurt that person, then you won't make that decision. You'll hold back on it, and ultimately, they'll make a decision that brings pain to you. You're going to go through pain either way, but you didn't the one that caused it, even though you knew it was the right thing to do. And so I don't know if they've been through more pain or they just haven't handled that pain the right way. And I'm not ignoring the fact that absolutely it could be that they went through a significant event. I read a book by Bill Wilson one time talking about stuff that he endured there in New York City. And I don't know if I endured some of the stuff that they endured there, would I make it? I know that at one point he held one of the people that was working in his church as they died on the street in front of there near the building. I know that he's had leaders pulled off of buses and raped. In the book, they talk about going to an apartment and one of the children went to the ministry and the mom had died and they had to step over the body of the mom to get to the child to minister to this child who was affected. I don't know if I experienced those things. Wouldn't I just give them the Steve Austin salute and walk out the door? Could I handle that much pain? But when you run into that significant enough pain, my advice is going to be this. You got to get help to deal with it if you don't want to then be a hurt person that hurts people. Because hurt people hurt people. And so ministry is painful. And you might have that significant pain. Don't think you can handle it on your own. Get help. And the help may need to be professional. Don't let it be a stigma. Don't shrink back from it. Get the help that you need so you can lead. Because if you're not whole, you can't lead a whole church.
That's so good, man. Healthy pastors lead healthy churches for sure. And one of the things I wished that I had been told earlier in ministry is that it's going to be painful. You're going to experience so many setbacks, so many letdowns. That, like, it's going to be difficult. We talked in our last episode about one of the things I brought up is healthy departures allow for healthy arrivals, but you're going to have a lot of unhealthy departures as well. You're going to have a lot of people that just dodge you and say negative things about you and question your motives or question your actions. Or one of the things that hurts, that one of the hurts that I've experienced is always giving everybody else the benefit of the doubt when nobody giving you the benefit of the doubt. Mm-hmm. And boy, man, like, especially early on in my life as a senior pastor, I'm like, guys, I'm 26 years old. I have no idea what I'm doing. Like, of course I made a stupid decision. I'm a stupid person. Like, I haven't had enough life. We were joking. My wife and I were joking last night. We're watching a TV show and there's a 21-year-old in the TV show and he's in a relationship and the other person in the relationship says, well, I'm scared about getting hurt, aren't you? And he's like, no. And me and my wife were laughing. And we're like, well, because he doesn't know anything. He hasn't lived enough life to be hurt. Like, he's never had a girlfriend. He's 21 years old. He's a kid. God, how old do I sound right now? Anyway, So I had an eye doctor appointment today, so that should help out with my aging. But yeah, man, like ministry is painful. And I really am starting to ask the question that you're bringing up here now, Joey. Have I dealt with my pain in a healthy way? Or am I angry with church member B because of what a former church member A did to me? Am I angry with situation B because I tried situation A and I didn't deal with the pain that's happened there? You got me thinking, and I don't like that.
And if you look at the current situation with the pandemic, is that what it is, Joey? Pandemic?
I almost spit this water out onto my computer. Oh my gosh.
So in the current situation though, with this, you know, there's been a lot of disappointment because I don't care how big your church is. It's not as big as it was prior to the COVID. And so, I mean, some churches may have bounced back. I don't know them, but they may have, but most of the people that I have talked to, their numbers have not rebounded. And so there's a lot of disappointment there. And that disappointment can lead to this anger that we're talking about and just being snarky and jaded and all of these things. And this is why, and we've talked a lot about it in this podcast. This is why you need people to talk to. You need friends that you can talk to because, you know, it's not uncommon for the one of the three of us to be on the ledge ready to jump. And you know, the other two are pulling them back instead of pushing them off. They're pulling them back. And so that is why it is so important to have those people that you can talk to and you can count on, because during this entire last almost 2 years now, we have seen our numbers not rebound. And when you just coming out of Christmas, you know, and you put in a lot of effort into your big service and we've talked about it with Easter being, you know, the biggest day of the year. And then the next Sunday is the lowest day of the year. You can go so up and down with disappointment that it can lead you to just be angry at everything and to look at your people and say, you didn't invite anybody. What's going on? Why don't you love your church? And really just, you've got to talk that out with people and whether it's professional or whether it's just with godly friends that you have. That's what's so important with this to be able to get beyond this pain and disappointment is talking it out with people.
Ministry is painful. Pastoring is painful. Sheep bite. There's decisions that you'd rather not make that you know is the best thing to make. You got to make decisions when you got people on both sides of the aisle going, no, this is the way it needs to be. No, this is the way it needs to be. You got people who you pour into that walk away, that go back into the world, and it breaks your heart. You have people you pour into that decides to go to another church. You have all these things that you're not going to get out of this thing without pain. You're going to have to go through some pain. And according to Sam Chan, your threshold of pain determines how far you can go in your leadership ability. But develop those skills to deal with these everyday ministry hurts that everybody goes through, that is part of being a leader. Develop those skills so that you don't become that angry pastor.
That's so good. And Joey, I just want to jump in and echo what you're saying. You're saying develop those skills. For me, I was emotionally stunted because of two things. I thought life was going to be perfect. I thought that I was going to be the pastor that come in and just fixed everything, and God was going to just, boom, blow the ministry up. So I thought everything was going to be perfect. And two, I wasn't prepared to deal with the pressure and the weight of the emotional strain that comes with being a pastor. Nobody taught me to build those muscles. So now here I am with this emotional problem that requires an Arnold Schwarzenegger type muscle. And here I am looking like, you know, my own tiny little self. And you can develop those muscles. So maybe you don't have them now. You can start developing them, and you can have them when you need them.
And I know a situation happened to a pastor friend of mine where he was attacked on Facebook by somebody who used to go to the church long before he got there. And he was criticizing the new move that the church made. And he went on there and he spoke kindness. And I don't know if I could have done that. I would have wanted to fire back at the guy. Matter of fact, I wanted to fire back at the guy on his behalf. But taking and developing, no, let me take a breath. Let me not answer in my anger. Let me step back. Let me deal with this. Let me talk to a friend about it first. Let me talk to God about it first before I respond to this thing. And I do. Great advice, Colby. Find friends. I don't know what I would have done. I probably would have quit the church by now in some of these situations if I didn't have friends like you helping me that I could have a sounding board to tell what I was going on, that sometimes looked at me and go, you know what? That just sucks. And I needed to hear it from somebody else that, yes, this situation sucks. And the other times going, hey, suck it up. It's part of ministry. Deal with it. Come on. You got this. Keep going. You need those friends. You need to have that relationship with God that God can help you deal with that and move on. And you need to develop the skills. And one of those skills Brian's going to talk about later, and I don't want to steal his thunder, but it's that self-awareness, that emotional intelligence. And I would encourage you, if you haven't read those books, read those books, emotional intelligence. They're secular books, but there's things that we can take and use in the spiritual to help us out. And one of those big things is self-aware. What is going on in you? What is, identify that emotion so that you can then find the proper way to deal with that emotion.
That's so good, man. And I love the wisdom that you're bringing into it, man. Like, I just on behalf of me and Colby, we just like, and really all of small church leadership, the nation that listens to us, man, is we just know old people are so wise. They're just like tall Yodas. And so, man, like, thank you so much, Joey, for your significantly older wisdom.
That is awesome.
So, yeah, man, emotional intelligence is so important. It's so important. There are people that are smart enough, that are capable enough, that have the gifts and talents, but they can't work with people and they can't deal with social situations and they can't deal with the pressure of pastoring that will flame out in ministry. And God's called them to do tremendous things, but because they can't learn how to control their temper, they can't learn how to not take everything personal, they can't fill in the blank, and it's a lid limit in their leadership. Think about this, y'all. Moses didn't get to go into the promised land. God stopped him when he didn't trust God and speak to the rock, but got angry and hit the rock. Like, it's important, man, that we deal with these things that are standing in the way. So, Joey, thank you for sharing that about pain. Colby, why don't you share with us a little bit about the one that jumped out for you from the Article 13 signs you're an angry pastor?
So as a control freak, the one that stuck out to me is angry pastors have control issues. The article says they get angry when they cannot control others or situations. This often reveals itself when they are questioned. Angry pastors frequently confuse questions with questioning. And so I am a control freak, and I tell everybody that all the time. I'm a control freak. I like to be in charge because I just like being in charge. I don't know why. It's just been in my nature from being a kid. I was just trying to lead the pack, try to do whatever I can to get things done. I like driving. I love road trips, but I like to drive the whole way because if we're going to hit a tree, I want to be in charge of that. So, it's just a control freak thing that I have. I kind of was like, wait a minute. I don't feel like I'm an angry pastor having control issues, but I think that they could lead to control issues if I allowed them. Back when I took my sabbatical, I came up with 12 sins that I felt God pointing out to me during that week that I was by myself. And number two on the list was anger. And I was like, wait a minute, anger? I'm not angry. I'm probably the nicest guy out there. But the anger was coming from my pride. If I didn't feel like I was being recognized, my pride was hurt, I'd get angry. And that all leads into the control, being in control, making sure you control the situation and control other people. And so it always kind of stems from there. And each one of us, we've got something else maybe that leads us to that angry spot. But if we look at it, it's coming from control. We're not controlling the situation. It's hard to believe. And pastors are going to look at it and say, oh, no, I don't have control. I have self-control because it's the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm not going to be doing those things. And it's all of this. And so we do have control problems. I've met a lot of pastors And a lot of pastors like having things done their way.
You got to be like that, man. Like, you don't have to, I meet a lot of pastors want it done their way. I'm right here. Okay. You're offending me, right?
Well, there's only two others in front of me. All right. There's only two other pastors in front of me, but I've met a lot more than just two. But every one of us, I mean, every one of us, we like the sun. You let a Sunday service not go the way that we planned it to go. I get irritated, and my people know this. I get irritated when somebody wants to add something to the service, especially if it's singing happy birthday to me. And so it's just, it's a control thing. And I didn't realize, I call it irritated. See what I just did there? I call it, I get irritated because I don't want to call it, I don't want to call it anger, because if I call it anger, then I've sinned, right? So we don't want to do that. We want to call it something else, call it a little softer, cuddlier thing so that it doesn't really impact us as much. But let's be honest, it is what it is. And it is anger. We can call it what we want to, but it is anger. So, you know, how, as a control freak, something that I work with is I really try, and I tell people all the time, you know, stay in your lane. Don't get into other people's business. Somebody posted a meme. It says, I'm going to hand out W-2s to people that got into my business last year. Was that you, Brian?
Yeah, that was me.
and so, you know, we need to stay in our lane. And when I say that, there's a lot of lanes in a church, and we are part of every lane as pastors, as leaders in the church. We are part of every lane, but we don't have to be in control of every lane. That is something that has really taken a lot of work out of me to do, is to trust the leaders in my church to lead.
That's so good. I heard a friend of mine, Pastor Kevin Bordeaux from thrivechurch.me, say this not too long ago. He said, you have to learn how to have your fingerprints on everything, but not your hands in everything.
Yeah.
And I was like, he said some things over the years that really messed me up. And he said that, and I'm like, whoa, because I want my hands in everything. I'm like you. Don't add something to the service. I've got it perfectly planned out, and I know better than you. And yeah. But I've got to learn to, it's okay to have my, to let somebody else drive every now and then.
Worked really hard. Go ahead, Joey. Go ahead.
And some of this comes in, I think, from culture. If you were in the military culture, you were taught, you listened to your leaders. I know, being significantly older than the rest of the group here, I grew up in a time that you didn't question. If they told you to do something and you go, why? You go get smacked in the mouth because I told you to. That's why you didn't question. You just obeyed. That was your role, right? Depending on what you were. Children should be seen and not heard. And you just do what you're told to do. And so we carry that over. Some of us significantly older folks still have that, and we have to fight against that. At least I do.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. One of the things is, as far as, you know, I love that, you know, having your fingerprints on it, but not your hands in it. You have to be okay. And we've got to get to that spot. I'm not completely there now, but I'm getting better at it. You have to be okay with people not doing it your way. It may be getting done better, but we're not happy with that. We want it to be done our way because we know better than everybody else because we are in charge. We are the pastors. But, and I'm saying that jokingly because I've got great people. I've got great leaders in my church that can do things that I don't get involved with because they do much better than I do. And I don't want to get involved with that stuff. So, you have to be okay with things being done differently than what you're doing. And, you have to be, allow them to lead. I mean, you have every church, maybe not every church, but every church, as far as I'm aware, has a leadership structure. You've got probably your senior pastor, and then you've got people underneath that. If I am not going to allow the leaders of the church to lead, then why do I have them in positions? If I'm going to do everything and be in control of everything, I'm going to be angry because things are not going to go well, because something is going to get dropped through the cracks. It's going to fail because I can't give 100% of my time and effort to everything that we do. And so you've got to trust your leaders to lead and let them do what they're capable of doing.
Yeah, that's so good, man. And I've heard this, that if you want to if you want to go fast, go alone, but if you want to go far, go with others. And that it, you know, it, I think about it when we load our minivan up to go anywhere. I can always by myself go wherever I want to go faster, but I've got three kids in tow and my wife as well. And so while I'm sitting in the seat ready to go, she's still buckling them in, and she won't do it fast as I'm telling her to, right? Like, like, but the point that I'm making here is that it, we've got more people and they're going to take more time, and they're not going to do it as fast as I would hope that they would do it. But it, for us to go there together, we've got to go with their pace, push them just a little bit, and make sure that we're all going there together. And man, it's just, it's a hard lesson for guys like me to learn, because man, I just want to go in and control everything, because if I can control the variables, then I can control the outcome. But if anything this pandemic has taught us is that we can't really control anything to start with, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And we're going to wear that one out, aren't we?
Oh yeah. We're going to wear that one out.
But here's the flip side of that. Last episode, we talked about healthy departures and all that. You said earlier about an unhealthy departure. If we are going to try to, if we are going to be in control of everything, and we are not going to allow people to lead, and we're going to be control freaks, what's going to happen is they're going to leave, and it's going to be an ugly departure. And now who has to do everything? When you have people in your church that are capable of doing things, let them do it. Otherwise, you're going to have to do it. And then look, watch out for what happens, because it's going to get worse. And then your anger is actually going to turn into something else. And it's going to turn into to worse. It's going to turn into depression. And it's going to turn into things like that, that, that you, you're going to need to get professional help to get through, because you wanted to be in control of everything. You ran people off because you wouldn't let them lead. And now all of a sudden these people are like, well, they're gone, and now you have to do everything, and now you're depressed.
Yeah. And in the context too of small church leadership, like nobody really says this because it seems like an excuse, but the truth is there are people that are flocking to large church leadership academies, right? Like there are certain churches that have like stacks of interns where people just want to go to that church and intern under that church. And then a lot of smaller churches aren't necessarily getting top of the barrel type leaders. You know what I'm talking about? And I'm not saying that as a slight to the people that come into small churches by any stretch of the imagination, but this is something that I've been saying for years. You got to dance with who brung you. And like, I went to school for this. I read books about it all the time. I study on it. I'm in a coaching network. Like I'm on the front. I'm like the tip of the spear when it comes to what churches do in ministry. But the person who's working in my nursery is not that person. You know what I'm talking about? Like that person is just, they're giving their time to serve Jesus by taking care of other people's kids for an hour and a half on a Sunday. Like they're not going to be in the quote leadership hall of fame, and that's okay. Like my brain has really started shifting lately on, Colby, you said it this way, that we're the tiniest mega church out there or something like that.
Yeah.
My brain has shifted into, well, what would it look like if we just gave everybody an opportunity to use their gifts and talents to serve Jesus? And here's what it would look like. One, it would look like the New Testament model church, but two, it wouldn't be fancy and slick, right? Like It would have its moments, right? It would have its moments where it's fancy and slick, but for the, by and large, for the most part, it would just be regular people using their gifts to the best of their ability to serve Jesus.
Not fancy and slick. That's our wheelhouse.
Right, right. Like, I mean, guys, we're reaching regular people. We're not reaching professional ministry people, right? Like the singing is going to be off key. The drummer is going to not come in whenever you want him to. Right. Like that's just the nature of being in a small church. And I think the problem that I've always had that maybe other pastors have had is we go to a church that we kind of think we can be like, and then we come back and we start acting like that leader. And we're like, hey, we're going to do this. And we're going to, they used to call it conference-itis. You go to a conference and this one big name guy who pastors a church that's in the 0.1% of all churches in America. And then we go back home and think that we can start doing stuff like that. Like everybody started wearing Hawaiian shirts after Rick Warren and Purpose Driven Life and Purpose Driven Church got real famous. And everybody started wanting to do like these cell type community groups after Willow Creek blew up with Bill Hybels and all of that. Probably bad example, but like this conference-itis of like, we come back and I'm going to do what I just learned. Man, retrofit it to the people that you have. If you've only got an average weekly attendance of 40 people, you don't need to start 70 small groups across the city. It's just not going to work. Like, just be free, man. Like, let it go. Let the people of God work and do what they've been called to do. And I don't know, man. Maybe I'm being Braveheart right now and I need to paint blue paint on my face and be like, freedom! But
no, but it's absolutely right. I mean, you've got to be who you are. And try not to be in control of every single aspect of every single thing. That's what I was when I first came in because, I mean, honestly, we were a struggling church. We had bills that we weren't paying because we didn't have the money to pay them. And so I was controlling everything. And the longer I've gone, the more I'm like, wow, I didn't realize I had somebody here that could do that. Hey, you know what? I need you to do this. And lightening up the reins a little bit and letting other people take charge of things, has been freeing for me. I'm still a control freak. I'm not going to deny it, but I'm not angry over things as much as I was. I do get angry, I guess is the word I'll use, but, it's just one of those about, allowing other people, allowing your leaders to lead and it eases your own anxiety and your own depression that you could fall into if you are trying to control everything.
That's so good, man. Thank you for sharing. And one thing that I'm glad to know is that, man, you snapped back. Like, you know, you went in before and you're saying I was being a controlling person and I just really kind of stood back and took my hands off some stuff and let people lead. And one thing I've learned about you over the years, man, you're like an expensive tape measure. You snap back. You snap back real quick.
I had to because it was – not killing me, but I was doing too much and everything had to go through me and people would call me to see if they could rent some tables or, you know, borrow tables from the church or use the building for a wedding or something. They had to come to me if they wanted to change something in a Sunday school class. They had to come to me if they wanted to go do some sort of outreach or evangelism thing. And I'm like, wait a minute. Why do I have leaders if I'm doing all of this? And so it just made sense to me. And I think I'm probably not as bad as I was, but I was getting angry. I would get angry about everything. And I would be like 3-4 years into it. And I'm like, you know what? I'm about to throat punch somebody. And so I had to step back and make a change and say, hey, I can't do all this stuff. And so then the anger came from the other side because they would come to me and say, hey, can we use the building for this party or whatever? And I say, no, go talk to the stewardship elder. Well, can't you answer it? I can, but I'm not going to. And so then they would get a little angry about that, but you know, it's been a couple years now, so it's eased up a little bit and it's made it a lot simpler for us.
Well, that's good, man, that you've got yourself an assistant to the pastor that can help you there whenever you need to be helped out and just help get the things done in ministry that need to be done. And so, man, you guys have talked about so much good stuff. I don't even want to talk about mine. And probably the big reason I don't want to talk about mine is because it hits me between the eyes. But it's that angry pastors lack self-awareness. Angry pastors lack self-awareness. And so we've talked about what these are from this article about 13 signs that you're an angry pastor. I want to confess that I think that I'm the best preacher that there ever has been. And then I listen to some of my messages. Like, how many Sundays, guys, do I send y'all a text message and it says something to the effect of this? Hey guys, you don't have to worry about preaching the worst message in the history of Christendom because I just did that today. Right? Like,
it's seen that once or twice.
Dude, it was like the end of last year, it seemed like every Sunday I was sending that text message out. And like, the reason that I bring that up is we talked in the last podcast episode about how I will judge other people by their actions, but I'll judge me by my motives. And I do the same thing when it comes to self-awareness. Is I think I'm the best thing. I think that nobody is as good as me at doing the thing. Therefore, I also overlook other areas in my life that are weak as well. Like, I'm just going to be gut level honest. My preaching lately has been going way too long, has been way too verbose. I've tried to squeeze way too much stuff into a tiny amount of space, and I haven't been as streamlined as I need to be. And these are things that I have to be self-aware of. Now, some people are probably listening going, man, there's no such thing as a sermon that's too long. Ask Eutychus about that. And if you don't know who Eutychus is, he was a guy who was listening to Paul the Apostle preach so long that he fell asleep and fell out a window and died. Now, Paul went down and revived him by a mere miraculous power of God. And then I love Paul. He went back up and kept preaching. I love that, right? Now, maybe you have the power of Paul to revive people when they die, but I don't. And I've looked out on Sundays and I've watched people die emotionally inside, right? I've watched people work. I've watched people die inside. And I've had to learn, I've had to be more self-aware that when I'm being verbose, I need to slow down and I need to calm. I need to kind of pump the brakes a little bit. So I bring that up in terms of lacking self-awareness. Like, do you have self-awareness about your messages? Really, do you have self-awareness about your messages? I know it may have felt good to you, but did it feel good to everybody else? I know you may have thought that it was the best thing ever, but was it really, or did you just feel like you did a good job? And these are, self-awareness is part of evaluation, and healthy evaluation is the breakfast of champions. Now, we don't have a problem if our praise team does something off, right? We have well awareness for our praise team. Ah, you sang that song in the wrong key, or this song is too high, or you guys, you butchered that song. We don't have a problem with awareness for them, but we tend to have a problem when it comes to self-awareness for ourselves. Here's a challenge. Go and ask the people that work in your nursery what they feel about the length of your preaching.
But you're squashing the spirit.
See, there we go. We're squashing the spirit because the spirit only works in the sanctuary. The spirit's not working in the nursery with those people that are in there struggling to keep these kids calm while they're in there and all that. So that's probably another podcast for another day, but I'm using that as an illustration that if we don't have self-awareness for something as simple or as not negative as preaching a sermon, my goodness, we probably don't have self-awareness in our anger issues as well. Like, there are triggers that we all have. For me, a major trigger comes from my insecurity. And this trigger is this: when I feel like I haven't done something right, when I feel like I failed. And so here's how that manifests itself in ministry. Somebody brings a complaint to me. We talked about that in the last episode, right? Somebody brings a complaint to me. Somebody brings an issue to me. And instead of slowing down to listen, my insecurity goes, you just failed. And because you failed God, you failed these people. Somebody's not going to go to heaven because you screwed up. And my insecurity is then covered up with, okay, I'm just going to strike back. Oh yeah, well, at least I come to church every Sunday. Well, at least I'm serving and I'm not just sitting in a pew. And what happens is there's a blind spot that I'm not seeing, which when I trace behind my anger, I get to my insecurity. And I can try to deal with my anger and I can try to say I'm going to respond differently, but responding differently is one thing, resolving the issue is another. And you can't resolve the issue if your focus is on responding. You can resolve the issue if you're leaning into self-awareness. And so the truth is we all have blind spots. We all have blind spots. We all have those triggering areas that we don't realize until it happens. There's an old proverb, not from the Bible, there's an old wisdom saying that says the eye cannot see itself. Now, can I give you a shower thought for a second? Y'all know how shower thoughts are kind of crazy? Think about this. Out of everybody you've ever seen in your life, your own face is the only one you've never seen with your own eyes. You've seen a reflection of your face in a mirror. You've seen a picture of your face on your camera or on a cell phone. But you've never with your own eyes seen your own face because you can't see yourself. And that's why it's important for us to have other people in our lives that can help us with our blind spots.
You just blew Joey's brains. His mind is like, boom.
Yeah, he's not coming back. We'll have to catch him up a little later.
Well, he's sitting there cross-eyed now trying to see his face.
When I was a kid, I rode the school bus for a little while to school. And I'll never forget my bus driver, Mr. Rayner. Mr. It was Mr. Rayford Rayner. And I'll never forget there was this one place where we had to turn around. And the way that we would turn around is he would pull into this one drive and then back up and then turn around that way. Well, I'll never forget, it was the highlight of our day. We had a little system on the school bus to who got to walk to the back of the bus and look to see if he was going to run over a dog or something like that. And we would, man, you know, 7, 8, 9 years old, telling this man with CDLs what to do, right? We're like, come on back, start turning. Now, we weren't really helping him. And bless his heart, he was like helping us, really. He was letting us feel like we were doing something. But the thing is, we were trying to help see blind spots. We need people that can help us see blind spots. Guys, that whole insecurity thing that I was able to say my anger and my response comes because I haven't resolved an insecurity, I didn't figure that out on my own. A professional counselor helped me figure that out. Now, I didn't like that professional counselor whenever that counselor was helping me see myself. But what happened is I got coached to be better. Now, I haven't fully lived that out, but I'm learning that I do have blind spots. I've got a lot of those blind spots. And so self-awareness is one of those blind spots. So here's something that I want to challenge all of us to do. Sit down with our key leaders, the 5, 6, 7 key leaders that you have in your ministry. Sit down with them and say this phrase to them. I promise you I won't get mad with you. I promise you I'm not going to hold you responsible for what you say, but I really want to know the truth. What is it like to serve under my leadership? And then let them talk. Is that scary? That's a pretty scary thought for me. Sit down with your closest leaders. Joey, I think about this when you were doing the emotional intelligence thing years ago and you asked your family, what level are you at? And like, what was it that Aaron said that when you're at your best, you're what?
That I, when I'm taking care of my health, my spiritual health and doing all the right things, I operate about an 8. When I'm not, I operate about a 3.
Yeah. And so she was bold enough and brave enough to tell you the truth. And
usually is.
That's what a wife is good for most of the time, right? And now you may have, that may have stung when you felt it, but over the years, that has been something that has breathed life into you and has helped to kind of keep you on track. And that's what this question is designed to do. It's designed to get around the people that are closest to your leadership and ask them. But you, here's the thing. You can't just ask them, what's it like to serve under my leadership and expect to get the truth from them. Because your people are going to lie to you. They're, Pastor, you're just great, and I thank God for you. Now, that may be the truth, but the reality is, guys, you're not as good as you think you are. Neither am I. We're also not as bad as we think we are. And what we need to be able to do is foster an environment on our team where people know, I can tell him, Brian, you're preaching too long, and I won't say, oh, yeah, well, your giving's too short too, right? Like, I need to be able to listen to them tell me what my blind spots are and not respond. Now, not respond means I'm not going to tell them. I'm not going to fire back at them. I had a pastor years ago, Bishop Bill Jones. He said this to me. He said, I know you're healthy whenever somebody pulls their battleship up next to you and fires one at you. You don't fire one back at them. And I've never forgotten that because I like to fire back, right? Like, I was literally named after the destroyer ship that my granddad was on in World War II, right? Like, I tell people, if you don't like my personality, I'm named after a battleship. Get out of here, right? Like, I'm going to fire back at you. We joke about me being Pastor Rattlesnake, that I'm going to shake the rattle once, but then I'm going to get you. And those are blind spots, and we're able to joke about it because we've tried to create an environment where people can kind of talk into one another. And so it's not easy. It is absolutely not easy sitting by listening to people say, hey, I've noticed that when people leave, you get grumpy. And when you get grumpy, all of your sermons are angry about people leaving. Here's a pro tip. Don't preach to the people in the building about people being unfaithful and not leaving. Why? They're the people in the building. They're faithful. They're there. I always love it when like the day after Christmas, which is historically one of the lowest attended Sundays of the year, pastors get up on the stage that day and they go, man, nobody loves Jesus anymore. Folks, the people in the building love Jesus. Tell them thank you for being here, right? Like, you get, instead of 10% today, we just want you to give 3%, right? Like, okay, maybe don't listen to me on that one. But the point is this, if you lack self-awareness, you've got to be willing to get people around you that can tell you the truth. Now, in almost every one of these small church leadership podcasts, we talk about how important it is to have friends on the outside. I'm talking about people on the inside too. Because Joey and Colby, I love you guys, but you cannot tell me where my blind spots are on Sunday morning. Why not? You don't see me on Sunday morning, right?
We're busy on Sundays.
You're busy. You're at your church is doing it. And I, likewise, I can't tell you what your blind spot is on Sunday morning either. And I can't watch your service online and tell you what your blind spots are either. Because the truth is, before you get to the stage preaching, you've dealt with 20 different volunteers. You've had 5 different unexpected issues happen. And how you deal with volunteers, how you respond to those issues that are expected and unexpected, shows whether or not you're a control freak or whether you've got pain, insecurity, your anger's there, whether or not you have self-awareness. So you're going to have to tell your people to not lie to you. You're going to have to tell them, I'm asking you to be gut level, blunt, honest with me. I'm not going to respond. I'm not going to justify and tell you, well, I did this because you did that. I'm just going to sit here, shut my mouth, and listen because I want to be a better pastor and a better leader for you. So I want to tell you, encourage you, get around the table with them. Make this a regular occurrence. Say, I promise I won't get mad. I won't even get even. I just want to know what the truth is. What's it like to serve under my leadership? Because here's what I found for me. I get the angriest when I think people aren't doing it my way, but I haven't sat down to ask people what they think that, that God's way is. And I'm like driving. I'm like forcing people. You can't lead, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. If I hold his head under long enough, he'll drink or he'll drown. And that's me. But I'm learning, you know, I don't want to bring the Bible into this, but it says gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit, right? Why do I think that gentleness isn't allowed in leadership? Well, brother, you just got to break the sheep's leg sometime. Stop. Get counseling, please. If your first go-to is you need to break the sheep's leg instead of he felt compassion on them for they were like sheep without a shepherd and he served them. If that's your first response is to break their leg, there's probably a pretty good chance you should read this 13 signs you're an angry pastor and then talk to a counselor.
Yeah, you got anger issues if that's, you got anger issues. That's your go-to move.
Yeah, and listen, here's the thing. I talk about getting around the table with people and asking them what it's like to serve under my leadership. It's better to do this before they leave than it is after they leave. I learned this from Craig Groeschel. I don't practice it very well, but I try to. He gets sermon feedback before he preaches the sermon. So he goes into, he's got a handful of people on his team that he'll go to. And he's like, hey, I'm thinking about saying this on Sunday. Here's how I'm going to say it. Tell me what you think. And he'll get feedback on his illustration or his order of how he's going to say things. He gets feedback before he preaches it. Now he gets feedback afterwards, but he gets pre-back and feedback. Now he doesn't call it pre-back. I just decided to because I feel like coining a new word, but it's always important to, and this is relational leadership. It's always important to work this stuff up. I want to say this last thing, then I'm going to be quiet. We've got to learn that mutual submission is for pastors too. We typically talk about submission. Men talk about it towards their wives, and pastors talk about it towards, quote, unruly church members. Now, the truth is, we're all called to mutual submission. Every single one of us, we're called to mutual submission. And part of mutual submission means that I'm going to submit my anger issues or whatever that anger typically is a fruit of a deeper root. I'm going to submit these things to God and I'm going to submit these things to this team because I want to be better. And so that's really all that I have to say. I feel like these past couple of episodes, I've been standing on a soapbox, just shouting at everybody that repent for the end is near. And maybe I'm just working some things out in my life personally, but hopefully this has been helpful and been beneficial. So guys, give me some feedback. What do you think?
Well, I think that there's other things. And when we post this on the article on our Facebook page, listeners got to go out there and read this article because there's so many other things in there that we didn't hit on because there was stuff that I was like, yeah, that one hits me. Yeah, that one hits me. Yeah, that one hits me. And so get out there, read this article and see where you're falling short and don't paint yourself into the you're the greatest ever picture because that's probably not true. You may not be like trying to stab people, but there's times where we get angry over things that we really don't need to get angry over. And so I just want to, you know, challenge a listener to go out there and read this article. And number 12 is something I think is important. Angry pastors need a counselor. Go get one.
Yeah.
Don't be ashamed of it. There's no shame in asking for help. When I was in the Air Force, I had an anger problem. And I've shared this before. I don't know if I've shared it on a podcast, but I went to anger management. I went to one session. It made me very mad. And so I didn't go back, but something that I did need, to just kind of for that self-awareness. And when I went to that first session, there's people in there crying that I just didn't want to deal with. So, but I dealt with the anger part of it. And so there is some deep seated reason for the anger. And so number 12, I think is very important. Angry pastors need a counselor. Go get one and don't think that you're weak because you got a counselor.
Yeah, I want to echo kind of your thoughts, Sarah Colby, that when I read this article, there was more than one that I could have picked out that was hit me between the eyes, as Brian said earlier, that I could have talked on or dealt with or looked at. There was definitely more than one that hit me in there. So go read the article and deal with that, whatever that is that is hitting you.
Well, guys, we have had some good stuff going on here, man, and I'm really excited that we're diving into some of these more difficult topics. I also dislike it because I'm having to dive into some of these internally and change some things about my life and how I lead. But in the end, man, it's all worth it because we're trying to be better versions of ourselves in order to best lead our ministries where God's called them to be. And so, man, with that being said, guys, do you have anything else you want to share with people before we leave?
Go out there where you get your podcasts. Give us a review and a rating. The more you do that, the more our this message will get out to other people. And we want to be a blessing. And so you rate it, you review us, and share this with your pastor friends, your church leadership friends. Maybe it'll make a difference in their lives as well.
Also, don't forget you can find this article on our Facebook page. If you go to our Facebook page, if you go to Facebook.com in the search bar, Small Church Leadership, you'll find us. You'll find this article. And please comment. Please let us know what stood out to you in this. And maybe one of those angry issues you recognize you've dealt with, and you can help others deal with it. And you can give us some advice on how to deal with it. Share that with us, please.
That's it, man. We definitely love you guys and we value you. We appreciate all the reviews. We appreciate all the people that are connecting with us on social media and beyond. We're here to try to help you. We're here to try to be a blessing for you. And so we'd love to hear from you. So follow those things those guys have said. We look forward to hearing from you or being with you on the next time we do a podcast episode. This has been the Small Church Leadership Podcast, the podcast where we are prayerfully and hopefully helping the small church fulfill the big mission. My name's Brian.
I'm Joey.
And I'm Colby.
And we will see you next time, guys. We love you, and we're praying for you.